Hello, Gwen and Kate here from Right Up My Podcast. Before we get started on this episode, we just wanted to talk to you about our Patreon.
This is where we put all our episode extras for free, and for the price of a cup of coffee a month, you can join the very exclusive Rump Club.
Yes, as a member, you will get access to extra Wiffle Waffle from Kate and I, behind the scenes content, music and lyrics from our incredible jingles, and we're even going to put some bonus episodes up there too.
The funds from Patreon go towards covering our running costs, as well as earning our unending love and gratitude.
So if you'd like to become one of our supporters and join the Rump Club, head on over to patreon.com/writeupmypodcast. Thank you.
It's right up my street, it's my boulevard, it's right up my Straza. Oh my God, it's garden right up there. Ah, it's right up my podcast.
Welcome to Write Up My Podcast. My name's Gwen Watson.
And I'm Kate White.
And this is the podcast in which we talk to people about what's right up their boulevard that makes them feel good.
This episode, we are exploring the world of earthing, or grounding, as some people call it. And we talk to a very interesting man called Dr. Gaëtan Chevalier. So he is the Director of Research at the Earthing Institute. He's based out in San Diego. And he has a PhD in, oh my goodness, what's he have a PhD in? He
has everything.
In everything. He's a nuclear physicist. He studied plasma physics and blah, blah, blah. He has a PhD in engineering mechanics, and he's a visiting scholar in the Department of Medicine at the University of San Diego. So he's very knowledgeable, very interesting man. So we're going to be having a really good chat with him later.
Awesome. But first, we're just going to check in with each other to see how we're doing. Can I also acknowledge that there are a lot of listeners who love listening to me and Kate Wiffle Waffle at the start of the podcast? They're like, oh, it's like listening to two friends down the pub. It's really nice. Whereas other people are like, can you just get to the point, please?
Yeah, crack on. We don't need to hear about the minutiae of your lives. Thanks very much.
What is this episode about? Can you just get on with it, please? This is why I'm here. I want to know how to feel good. Urgently. All right. Well, for those people, grab yourself a cup of tea, pop back in a couple of minutes, because first I want to know, what have you been doing to make yourself feel good, Kate?
Well, after listening to the intro of last episode, I sounded manic. And as a result of that, I've been trying to chill the hell out.
Oh.
Just slow it down a little bit. I'm still in lockdown. We're still in lockdown in England. It's been all right, actually, because all of the coffee shops and the takeaway places are all set up for it now. So actually, most of your kind of necessities you can still get really easily. Not being as big a life change as the first lockdown.
Right,
definitely
that's
not
good.
Well, yeah. Particularly because I live in the city, so all these things are around you the whole time. So I probably noticed the lack of them more last time.
But are you only allowed out once a day?
Well, no, not really, because schools are still open. So you've got to go and take kids to school. You've got to go and pick them up again. You might also have to go and buy milk and bread and eggs and those sort of things. So that once a day rule, I mean, God, I might have totally got the wrong end of the stick of this. But I don't.
It does not apply.
Boris and me have got a personal deal here that I just, you know, I could waltz about as much as I like. I did a fun thing last night. The Bristol Old Vic, which is the theatre in Bristol city centre, which is this amazing theatre, did a virtual online murder mystery night, which was really fun. So you went into the Zoom page, all the actors were there, they performed all the different murder mystery things. You then got broken up into groups, which was quite weird because you were thrown into groups with strangers that you didn't know.
Oh my God.
I immediately got crippled by shyness and sat there in complete silence while everyone else chatted away like they'd been friends forever. Who are these people that are just so confident that they'll go into a Zoom group and chat with strangers?
You can't even chat in a Zoom group anyway, because it is crippling when suddenly there's 8 people or 20 people and you've got to be the centre of attention. It's like, that's
exactly
not how conversations work.
Exactly. Ultimately, it's the person with the loudest voice who just booms over everyone else. But anyway, it was fun, and hats, I doff my cap at you, old Vic, Bristol Vic, for, you know, trying to keep these things going on. It's important. We value you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so important to support the local venues, because especially in the arts, people are really, really struggling.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So well
it's
done,
really
Kate.
Tough. What about you, Gwen? What have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing... do you know, when I was talking about microdosing, that had quite the reaction in the last episode as well. But I've been going out picking mushrooms. And yes, I have continued with my experiments. My dad in particular was interested to know more
about
that.
Yeah, I bet he was. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're still a naughty little girl in your dad's eyes.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah. I sometimes forget that my dad listens to this. And yeah, to people asking, we are going to do that episode. What it's done is it's made me pay more attention to the ground around me as I go out walking. And suddenly, when you are looking for a particular mushroom, you do notice all these other mushrooms. And then I went out the other day, and in the field there were all like these massive clumps of all these salmon coloured mushrooms. I was like, these look amazing.
Beautiful.
So I was like, these look good enough to eat.
Do you know which ones are edible?
No,
which are poisonous?
No, and I would never trust my own judgment. I googled it; it looked like a safe one. I still do not trust Google at all.
No.
Do not trust yourself. Get an expert. So I got a friend who is a forager, and he came round the very next morning at like 8:30 in the morning. We were out there in the rain, and he was like, "Yes, these are meadow wax caps. This is an amazing haul of them, an amazing bevy of them." Yes, he's like, and so we picked loads of them, and next thing I'm eating them for my breakfast and for
yummy.
My dinner.
Just to clarify, you're not making omelets with magic mushrooms here. We're just talking about your bog standard delicious edible mushrooms,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Just, so yes, my search for hallucinogenics has led me down to foraging and picking mushrooms that I can eat for my breakfast and lunch.
Oh,
and then so
heaven.
This afternoon I'm going foraging with another friend, and we're going to look for chanterelles. The elusive chanterelle.
Oh, and magical.
I know, well, they're delicious. And but like I said, I've heard plenty of stories of people killing themselves and their entire families by making soup with death caps. So I'm
Blimey.
Not. Yeah. Nothing's going in my mouth unless a forager has approved it.
My brain suddenly went to really dirty. I'm not even going to elaborate on what I was thinking about then. But yes. Yes.
My dad's listening to this, Kate.
Sorry, Gwen's daddy. Approved mushrooms only. Thank you very
yes.
much.
It's right up my podcast.
This week's episode is grounding, also known as earthing. And this came about because... Well, the one day I was chatting to Kate because I'd been stuck on my laptop all day, and I just needed to get outside, and I needed to be barefoot in my garden, even though it was wet and cold. I just wanted to be outside and barefoot and feeling the grass and the soil betwixt my toes and beneath my feet. And I was just like, I just needed to ground myself. And we were talking about this being a phrase that we use all the time, and it is something that we feel the need to do, and we do feel ungrounded, don't we? We want to go and just ground ourselves again. And then I remembered a friend of mine, a colleague at the station, who's been sharing lots of Instagram posts of her being out and about barefoot, and she's been talking about barefoot walking and earthing, and I was like, what is this earthing of which you speak? She sent through a couple of links to these movies that we watched, and here we are.
Yeah, and it's always been something that I've loved. I've always loved, particularly in the summer, it's dry, but I've always loved taking my shoes and socks off and just being in the grass. It's always felt lovely. It's always felt great. And so when you brought the subject up, I was like, yes, maybe there's more to it than just the physical sensation of the little grass on my little tootsies. Maybe there's more to it than that. So we both were really interested to find out more. And also you mentioned an interesting word, grounding. Obviously, that's what we're talking about. But you used it in the context of being grounded. So this is terminology that's used in so many different areas. It's interesting to know if it all comes back to the same root thing, or if, you know, it's like psychologists use the word grounded to make you feel just more centered, bring you back into your own body as opposed
rooted,
to being rooted in your body, as opposed to being lost in your thoughts or in your headspace.
Mm.
People into yoga use it to describe stances where you're firmly grounded in a stance with your feet, your hands, whatever body parts are connecting with the floor, providing that stable base. And obviously we're going to talk about it in a more electrophysical sense of being grounded.
Yes, and what you're about to hear is me and Kate chatting to a nuclear physicist.
I think it would be safe to say that we're a little bit out of our depth, but hey, I did GCSE physics. I know my shit, all right?
Me too. I was like, actually felt like I was in GCSE physics. I was writing notes all the way through and just being like, what's he talking about now? Like really distant cogs in my brain were whirring back into action. I was like, oh, I remember electrons and ions. What did that do? But so obviously we're coming at it from an angle of wanting to feel good, but also there are lots of claims that it has very vast physical benefits as well.
Well, before we dive into exploring the fascinating world of grounding, I felt like I wanted to make a point because this is a really interesting topic and there's all sorts of research being done, particularly by the Earthing Institute, which Gayton is a director of. They're the leading voice when it comes to researching this subject. They do make some very big and bold claims about the power of grounding. And I feel like I just want to clarify at the top here that we're not in the business of peddling miracle cures, are we? We're just, from a journalistic perspective and an interested perspective, we're exploring these topics. We're going to give you loads of places where you can go on and continue reading about it and researching it if you're interested to find out more. So we're just going in and exploring with an open mind, and we invite you to do the same.
So we started our chat with Gayton by asking, what is earthing?
So earthing is apparently, that's what I learned, is an English term for grounding. So okay. Americans use grounding. Mm. The English people use earthing, which means basically take an equipment and put it in contact with the earth, the planet Earth. So that's the same thing we do. What was found is that being in actual physical bodily contact with the planet has health benefits. It's been known for centuries, but forgotten in modern society. So it's simply being in physical contact with the earth. Now, it's not always possible for us, like I'm talking to you right now, and I have my feet on a grounding mat. So you can use equipment that actually connects you to the earth. It's simply like an extension of being connected to the earth. So like, for example, you plant a rod in the earth and then you attach a wire to it and you connect this wire to you or to a grounding mat, which is a conducting, electrically conducting device. And when you touch that mat or you touch the wire directly, you're grounded because you're in direct contact with the earth. And what we're talking about is that the property of the earth that is beneficial to us is its electrical charge. So the earth is a battery. You know, a battery has two poles, a positive pole and a negative pole. And so when you, like you have a flashlight, for example, when you close the circuit by flipping the switch, then you have light coming out. It's the same thing in your home. When you flip the switch, you close the circuit and the current flows, and then electrical current flows, and you have light or any appliance that work. Now, the planet is also a battery. And just like a battery, it has two poles, and it's charged with what? With electrons. The Earth is a battery, and the negative pole is the surface of the Earth, and the positive pole is the layer of the atmosphere called the ionosphere. It's about 100 kilometers up in the sky. And why it is called the ionosphere? It's because it's full of ions. And what is an ion? An ion is a charged molecule. See, the air, the molecule of air that we breathe is neutral in general. But when you go 600 kilometers up in the air, what happens there is that the sun rays, especially UV light, you know, impinge upon the earth. And the UV light is absorbed by the air molecule, and which splits them into positive and negative ions. And so this protects us from the UV light coming from the sun. But those ions, after that, are processed into our complex atmospheric system, where they are finally getting into thunderclouds, and then a charge by a complex process, an electric charge accumulate at the bottom, negative charge accumulate at the bottom of the cloud, and is transferred into the surface of the earth by lightning.
Yes.
So lightning is actually the method, main method, by which the charge at the surface of the earth, the negative charge, is maintained. The scientists calculated that if lightning stop on the planet, there's lightning, thousands of lightnings at every second, you know. If lightning stop on the planet, this charge will dissipate in less than an hour.
Less than an hour? Wow.
Less than an hour.
That's amazing.
Yes. So it's very important. And most of these thunderstorms happen in Africa and in South America. Now, by destroying the forest, rainforest there, we're doing damage to ourselves, to this all atmospheric system that we use to stay healthy.
Let's talk about that a bit more then. What are the benefits to us from grounding ourselves?
Yes. The way that we all build, animals and human beings, is to take advantage of this electric charge that the surface of the earth has. So the bioelectrical function of the system is first in importance.
Right.
And this depends directly of the function of your brain, which depends on your mood, which depends, you know, on complex factors, physiological, psychological, etc. And why it's like that? It's because we evolved in contact with the earth, which was basically the battery that was recharging our own battery inside. So very, very important to have those electrons. We get them from the food. You know, in the past, people eat food locally. You know, they grow their own food, or they kill game that is also grounded, and the food was giving them electrons. Now, with processed food today, we don't get electrons. Okay. We get electron-deprived food that creates more trouble. And what is this trouble? What happens when you lack electrons in your body? First, the mitochondria cannot produce as much energy. The second one is now you have malfunction of the immune system. Mm. Autoimmune diseases are due to lack of electrons. What happens is that if you take any appliance and you remove the ground from the appliance, it starts to malfunction. Why? Because it doesn't have a reference point for its voltage inside. We're the same. So the immune system starts to have problems in finding what is self and non-self. So it makes mistake and start attacking cells that are healthy cells that we need. If they attack the cells, you know, that produce insulin in the pancreas, we have diabetes, you see. If they start attacking brain cells, we have Alzheimer's. So all of these things. And another problem is, by lacking electrons, positive charge accumulate in the body. And those positive charges are like acidic. If you have a bacteria, you make a wound, and bacteria comes in. How is the immune system taking care of these bacteria? It's by engulfing them, and then digesting them with acid. And we do digest with acid too. Our stomach is acidic. Or they pour acid on them. Okay? But then, this situation now has to be resolved. I mean, that means the acidic situation here has to be canceled, neutralized. You need electrons for that. If the body lacks electrons, what it's going to do? It's going to start to say, well, we have a problem here. And the cells will say, we're attacked by, because the acid is not neutralized, the cell will be damaged, and they will send messenger to the body, hey, we're attacked. And they will, the body will cell, send more white blood cells. And the damaged cell will be killed. And now we have a problem because now we have too much acid there. Now, not having negative charge to neutralize that, what the body does, it put fluids there. That's why we have inflammation.
Aha, okay. There's that key word that comes up again and again.
I was waiting for that.
Enemy number one.
This comes up in so many conversations that we have about health, that inflammation is at the root of so many of our health issues.
But what is the root of inflammation?
Yes.
That's what they don't talk about.
Yes.
It's a lack of electrons.
Yeah. Right, so prevention rather than cure. Yeah.
Exactly. They don't go into prevention. They're trying all kind of medication. They're trying antioxidants. Antioxidants, by the way, are molecules that give you electrons. But it's not very effective because they have to go through the stomach first if you swallow them. And the stomach is acidic itself, you see? So it's going to just kill the antioxidant. The normal way the body is designed to get the antioxidant is through the hands and the feet. You know, there's more nervous termination on the feet, the sole of the feet, than anywhere else in the body.
Really? More than the fingertips in the hands?
Mm. More than fingertips in the hands. The hands are the second ones.
Right.
Why is that? That is because they probably use to absorb electrons.
So historically, this is really interesting. This, I feel, is tying in with, we did an episode a few weeks ago where we spoke to somebody about forest bathing and about how we evolved in the trees and how we evolved to breathe in the phytoncides and the essential oils that the trees emit and how beneficial that is for our immune systems. And it feels like, so if our feet are that sensitive and that is how we get grounded and that is how we receive the electrons, excuse me if I'm not getting the science right, but so historically we would have been barefoot, wouldn't we? And we evolved on this planet, on the Earth, being barefoot.
Yes.
So has the transition to wearing shoes and separating ourselves from the earth, i.e. building homes with concrete floors, etc., was that kind of the root of a lot of these problems, do you think? Is this where we started to
go
wrong?
Yes, because we disconnected ourselves from the earth. And the thing is that this is a recent phenomenon. It's about 100 years old or less. See, when you go 100 years ago, people were dying of what? Infections, you know, things like that. They were dying of, because the hygiene was really poor. I mean, in the end of the 19th century, or about like around 1875, the doctors will work on cadavers and then turn around and deliver a baby. And then the woman, and then the woman becomes sick and they didn't understand.
Shock horror.
Oh.
There's no need to wash your hands.
They didn't know. The doctor who found out said, oh, by washing my hands, the ladies are much better and they're okay and everything. They poo-pooed him so much that the guy finished in an asylum. So it took another 30...
An
asylum, yes. Mm. It took 30 years more for another doctor, very well known, published paper about this, for finally, you know, the doctors to look into it and finally wash their hands and help the people. I mean, such simple things, you know, sometimes they take... So earthing is the same thing, you know. It's like, it's hard to be accepted by medical science right now because it's so simple and easy. I know, because I was one of the skeptics.
It's frustrating when I get out of the shower because I can never ever seem to find a nearby towel. Thinking ahead now, face a kind of scowl. Better when I get one near before I switch the power. This is kind of sounding opposite of grounding, but when I get there, water on my head hair. It's pretty nice there. Feeling kind of right here, though I can't really understand it if you don't share. Don't care. I'm a big man playing with the big boys, and in my head, I'm living with the big noise. Living with the big noise.
Get your towel ready before you go in there. Get your towel ready before you get wet hair. Get your towel ready. Get your towel ready. Get your towel ready. Yeah.
So is there any progress with getting the medical industry to take notice of the research that's been done in this area?
Yes, yes, yes. It's coming. It's coming because many doctors want to help their patients, and they find that there are many models. I've received emails from different doctors, you know, MDs and naturopathic doctors, and there's excellent ways to help people. And you would be surprised how resilient the body is when you just give the proper things. And one major one that was missing is grounding.
So doctors are getting in touch with you. What are they saying that they are treating with grounding, or what positive benefits are they finding by using grounding on their patients?
We have so many benefits, you know, that it's on so many various conditions that I cannot even start to explain to you. But one of those conditions that are helped immediately and very, very spectacular is arthritis. You have people with we have people with deformed hands, and they ground themselves. First, the pain goes in 5-10 minutes. And second, their fingers get better, and then they recover their normal function.
Right.
It is spectacular. If you want to see something spectacular, take somebody with arthritis and ground them, and you will see a change that is. But it affects everything that has inflammation. All degenerative disease that we know have inflammation. Diabetes, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, even autism. I mean, you name them, they are inflammation-based. They're all inflammation-based.
I saw one of the grounding movies, and I think it was Grounded. I think that's the film, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the main guy, he discovered it because he had, I think, didn't he have a really, really bad back?
Like, but it's not that he's not the first one. The first one is Clint Ober in the book Earthing.
Oh, yes. No, that's Clint Ober. Yes, he's the guy who discovered or rediscovered grounding for the modern man. Because, of course, grounding has been used by Native Americans and indigenous folk for tens of thousands of years.
Yeah.
But yes, no, this guy that I'm talking about is the guy who did the film The Grounded. He is Steve Krushel. And he had a cripplingly bad back, and he went out and he laid in the snow under his house for 20 minutes, and that basically fixed his back. And then he then decided, right, well, I don't want to spend every night lying in the snow, but I want to ground myself while I'm sleeping in my house. So he basically stuck in a metal rod into the ground, and then with a wire coming into his bed, and I think he attached pads to his feet. So he was actually getting grounded while he slept.
Yes.
And then he started giving these kits out to everybody in his town. He lives in this town in Alaska. And suddenly everybody was having really positive physical effects, weren't they? So, like, people who had had shoulder pain for 20 years were suddenly coming off their painkillers, and people who, this whole town was being cured by sleeping with grounding rods.
Yes.
And there was also people on there who had multiple sclerosis and who hadn't had a good night's sleep for years, and who could suddenly sleep through the night. And I read on the Earthing,
that movie, by the way.
I watched it last night.
You are.
I saw. Yeah, I was like saying to my husband, I'm interviewing
him
tomorrow.
There he is. But it does seem that, and also on the Earthing Institute website, there was a story of somebody with Parkinson's, because I'm particularly interested in that because my mum has Parkinson's, and how from a few nights of sleeping with an Earthing sheet, he was able to go out playing golf again. And it does seem that, even though it's not being, you know, widely accepted in the world of science, but it is widely having really positive physical benefits, isn't it?
Yes, it does. And so we're working now. We have some doctors that are interested in doing some research. For example, there is this research that was done at Penn State University in the Penn State Hospital for Children. And they had, one of the major problem with preemies is that when you put them in incubators, their intestine becomes necrosed, you know, it dies.
Oh.
And they don't understand it, but they die because of that. Mm. And so they wanted to have a method to help these children And so one of the doctors was in contact with me. And so he started grounding those children and made a research project of it. And he found fantastic results.
So they were physically joined up to a grounding wire.
Yeah, there's a little patch that was put on their foot.
Yeah.
Those little infants, you know. And they had really good results, you know.
Can we talk about some of the practicalities of it then?
Let's
take a listener with no underlying health precautions, someone who doesn't necessarily want to be investing in specialist equipment. How can they bring grounding into their lives?
Well, it's the easiest thing. Go take a walk with your dog, 20, 30 minutes ground, you know, barefoot outside in the grass. Depending on who you are, if you are close to a beach, you can go to a beach.
And 30 minutes, you think it takes 30 minutes to get grounded?
Well, no, what happens is that if you ground for a few seconds, stuff like that, you don't get enough charge to really make a difference. And the computer, you know, the biocomputer does not think you said, well, you know, we're grounded a little like this a lot. So it start to be noticing that this is a real grounding and we can start doing something about 20 minutes. It depends. Some people it's 30 minutes. So I recommend 30 minutes to an hour grounding, walking somewhere, barefoot, a place where there's no pesticide and, you know, things like that.
And does it matter what the surface is?
Yes, it does matter. You don't walk on asphalt, you know, the streets that are the asphalt. Mm. Asphalt is made of petroleum, which is an insulating material, which was plastic are made from petroleum.
This is what we call tarmac, right? This is like what roads are made of.
Yeah, made roads. Some of them are made of concrete. Concrete is conducting, so no problem.
So you can walk on concrete.
Yeah. Concrete's okay, yes. Tarmac not.
Concrete is okay. Wood is not good. It is
not
insulating.
Good.
Plastic, rubber, all of these things are like we have sole of the shoes that are made of rubber or plastic. You will be insulated. We are in home made of wood. We are insulated.
Okay.
So soil is good, grass is good, beach is good.
Ocean water, you know, rivers, the water is good.
This is good. This is going to be my next question because we've just done an episode on cold water swimming and we're really getting into being in the water. And there's something, I really feel a need to be in the water now. And I read, I saw somebody talking about how you can get grounded in bodies of water. So you can,
absolutely.
Can you?
The best way to be grounded is actually to be naked in the ocean. Because the ocean water is very salted. So that means that has a lot of ions in there that conduct electricity. So it's really at the potential of the earth. And you get electrons from all pores of your body coming in.
Nice.
Not only that, just being sitting on the beach, the water, the ocean water, when it evaporates, it gets negative ions. So you're breathing negative ions too. Plus you get the sunshine, which give you vitamin D. I mean, this is the best of both worlds.
Yeah, this is making me very jealous, though, because I live in England. Gwen lives in Wales. Gwen, you do live near the beach, actually. 10 degrees C, kind of a nice summer's day here, really, isn't it?
Actually, this is a very good point because we have... certainly at the moment, and this might be that this isn't the right time of the year to do this podcast, but we are in the autumn going into the winter. So and the reason we're doing this episode is because I have felt, being on my laptop all day, I felt a really innate need to be outside and to be barefoot in the garden. And and I do, and we say it, don't we? We say it. Oh, I've just needed to ground myself, or I just needed to feel grounded. And so I have felt myself going out and doing it more often. And I might do it first thing in the morning, or I love it at night when there's a dark sky and I can just see the stars. And I stand out there barefoot, and I stare up at the stars. But obviously there's probably negative. There's going to be negative outcomes to standing around in wet, cold soil, isn't there? Or is it okay for us to do it in the autumn and the winter?
Oh, it is okay. No problem. I have seen, you know, we have also a Facebook page called Earthing Insiders. if you want to join that. Okay. You'll see all kind of people there. They do all kind of things. There's a guy there who loves to go barefoot in the snow.
Oh, wow.
And he grounds himself.
Ah.
And you see video of him doing it. This is nice. And you'll learn all kind of things. And Earthing Insiders is really a good Facebook page to be on.
If you wore footwear made from natural fibers, would you be able to be walking around in them and be grounded?
Yes.
This is a really good question, Kate.
Yes, it is. If you have like leather shoes, thin leather shoes like moccasin, you will still be grounded. Oh, yeah. There is a way you can check that you are grounded. It's called a continuity tester. So you can bring that with you anywhere and check if you're grounded or not. Or you can, you know, like for example, the earthing.com company makes a grounding mat for sleeping on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's made of a rubbery material. It's a little rough, but you can put a sheet on top of it.
Yeah.
And because we're sweating at night, we're going to be grounded again. And you have a continuity tester that you can check.
So why does sweating make you grounded? Is it the moisture?
Because not only sweat is moisture, but there's a lot of salts in it.
And I know that we've talked about this a lot already, but for someone listening who maybe is struggling still to get a grasp of it, is it possible to sum up in one sentence why people should ground themselves?
Because it's absolutely mandatory if you want to stay healthy and not have inflammation in your body and have energy. It's a must. It's not negotiable. You don't do it, you'll pay for it along the long run. The body is very resilient. It will try, you know, for years to make up by, you know, trying to mitigate this and that. But eventually, inflammation will be too much. You know also what happens? Another thing that happens. A couple of things I want to mention, especially interesting for women, but also for men. If you are really, really lacking electrons, what's going to happen is the body at some point will say, we've got to quench that inflammation. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to take electrons from the bones. And now you have osteoporosis. Because it will take the electrons from the calcium will be eliminated. And you're going to have osteoporosis.
So do you think that that a lot of our modern day illnesses, both physical and mental, are because we have separated ourselves from nature, that we are just not getting the natural charge from the earth that we would have historically been getting every day? I mean, obviously we can't go back to running around barefoot in the soil, catching animals and you know, building huts. So what can we do in our modern day then?
Well,
If we want to get grounded, like, so we should be grounding ourselves every day, shouldn't we?
What is the easiest way? The easiest way I found is sleep grounded.
Sleep grounded.
There's no effort.
You sleep grounded at night. You don't need to worry during the day. You have done not only your hour, but probably 6, 7, or 8 hours of grounding. This is amazing. And it's the best time to be grounded because that's when the body tries to repair itself.
Right, of course, yeah.
So the best way to ground yourself during the day and not have any problem, the easiest and laziest way of doing it is sleep grounded.
So how do you sleep grounded?
Well, there's some sleeping mat, there's some sheets, grounding sheets that you can get out there, or grounding mats that you can put under your sheets, and just connect them to a power outlet. Make sure that you have a good grounding system in your house.
So we have this in all our homes, don't we? We have the earthing.
It's a separate grounding system that has nothing to do with the electrical power. So it's a very good grounding system.
Okay. So for people wanting to really do their research, find out more about this and explore some of these products, earthinginstitute.net is where they should head to.
Yes, and also they can go to the Earthing Insiders and ask away. There's always somebody who has a creative answer to what your problem is. Some people have problems I never thought about.
Yeah,
somebody wanted to ground his trampoline.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's a great way.
While they're working on the way. Okay, how do you do that? You know, all kind of things.
Wow. So thank you so much to Gayton for taking time out of his very busy day to talk with us and for being very patient in walking us through the theory behind grounding. If you want to find out more yourself about grounding, then go to earthinginstitute.net, and there they've got explanations of what it is. They've got links to all of the research that's being done. They've also got links to the Earthing movie, which is a film that some filmmakers made around this subject of earthing and grounding, and the Earthing book. So there's lots of resources on there for you to find out more. Gwen, right. We are going to do a little experiential grounding of our own, aren't we, for a bit? So tell me, where are you? Where are you? What are you doing? What are you wearing?
I'm currently... This reminds me of cold water swimming, actually, because I'm currently stood in perfectly warm slippers and my coat and scarf and hat, clutching a warm tea, and I'm about to take my slippers off. I'm on the edge of my lawn.
Oh, you wild thing. I love it. We're so rock and roll. I'm about to take my slippers off.
Oh, the things we do, the risks we take. I'm going to take my slippers right off.
Don't take them off just yet. Have you got backup?
So I'm going to walk. My plan is to walk across my garden and into the field next door. How about you, Kate?
So I live in the city centre, basically. So I am standing on the rather small postage stamps patch of grass outside the back of my house. I haven't taken my trainers off yet. I'm just looking at it. It's very muddy. It's quite long grass. There's potentially a bit of cat shit hidden in there just to add a freeze on of excitement. I know.
And what's the weather like?
It's beautiful. It's clear blue sky. It's that lovely kind of late autumn wintry light, quite watery light, I always describe it as. It's a Sunday morning and I'm shouting in the back garden barefoot. I think I look like the local crazy lady.
You don't just look like her. Anyway, are your shoes off yet?
I'm stepping in.
Okay, I've slipped off the slippers. I will say that it's gloriously sunny here as well, which really, really helps because it's been raining for days. Oh. But we have had a bit of a frost this morning.
Oh, is it nippy? Tell me how it feels now you've taken your old lady slippers off.
My M&S slippers are off and I'm stood here on the paving stones. I'm not going to lie, Kate. It's quite cold.
You're on the paving stones. Oh,
yeah.
You're taking it easy. Come on, venture out into the grass and the quagmire.
Are your shoes off yet?
Okay, my shoes are off. I'm in the grass. I'm in the mud.
Okay, here we go.
I'm in the grass.
Ooh. Hey, that does... It is lovely, isn't it?
It's nice. It's a little bit squelchy, but it's really nice. I think right now it's just that sensation of the coldness against my skin, which is refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, do you think this is what Gayton was imagining when he talked about walking along the beach with, you know, getting the vitamin D from the sunshine, fingers...
The vitamin G from the ground.
From the ground, I know, soaking up the rays, maybe having a skinny mocha latte.
Whilst then jumping on his extra long skateboard and going down Venice Beach. This is the problem with interviewing people in California, Kate. He's not standing in a field in Wales, freezing his toes off.
We're keeping it real here, Gwen. We're doing this is the reality of grounding in the UK in winter.
Okay, do you know what? This is getting easier.
Yes, it is, isn't it? That initial shock definitely goes away, and then it gets the numbness. The numbness takes over.
Because that was starting to get a little bit painful, and I was thinking, how on earth are we supposed to do 20 to 30 minutes of this? But actually, this has already got a lot easier.
Because that does feel like a long time when you say it out loud, doesn't it? 20, 30 minutes of just being barefoot.
Yes, but this
is actually... But, you know, you can't... Yeah. I mean, where would you do this? If you, like, obviously you could do it in your back garden. If you're lucky enough to live in a more rural area, would people feel confident to go out wandering along over moorland or through fields barefoot?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, when you do go wandering around moorland and et cetera and woodland, you're going to come across... things like sticks and thorns, so you're going to have
take
a little bit. You're going to have to exercise a little bit of caution, aren't you? But I reckon, because I'm out in a field now, and this is working fine for me.
Oh, I love this vision I've got in my mind of you walking through a field up onto the moors in West Wales with your bare feet, your wind blowing in the hair. Sounds heavenly.
I have got a woolly hat firmly on my head. There is no wind blowing in my hair. Yeah. But I think another place I would go, and which I have done regularly in the summer, is the beach.
Yeah, that's perfect for it.
Yes, and because often, especially when I'm walking the dog down there, I'm in my wellies. But in actual fact, yeah, they're rubber-soled, aren't they? So you want to get those rubber soles off.
Well, this is a really good point you've made, because actually we both, after our interview with Gayton, we said, he said this is only a phenomenon that's been felt for the last 100 years. Why were people not struggling to ground before 100 years ago? And then on doing a bit of research and reading a bit of the information on the Earthing Institute website, they were explaining it was all to do with the invention of rubber-soled shoes that suddenly put up this insulating barrier between our bodies and the ground that we're walking on. And I guess modern pavements, tarmac, insulated materials that a lot of our urban environments are paved in.
I'm just going to put the mic down here so you can get...
you squelching?
That's me squelching through actual mud. I feel like I haven't done this since I was a child. This is a very unusual feeling the mud between my toes.
The joy of it.
Yeah, with my cup of tea in my hand. And the other thing, because it really ties in, doesn't it, with this whole kind of, what he was saying is that we've disconnected ourselves, basically, like from the ground, from the earth and from nature, which is something that we've just been finding out more and more.
Completely.
Through this podcast.
Yeah, the common threads that seem to go through a lot of our episodes seem to come back to this, don't they? This of disconnecting ourselves from the natural world around us.
Yes. And I think it's Johann Harry in his book Lost Connections. He describes us as living in a sick society, because this is not how we evolved as animals. We evolved, living on the earth, in the earth, as part of the earth, and as tribes, and we've separated ourselves. And so many of us are sick physically and mentally. So many of us are depressed, and we're definitely doing something wrong, aren't we?
Yeah, it seems to be a common theme, doesn't it, that sort of keep coming back to. But I think skipping across the moors with your toes wiggling in the soil can only be a good thing.
Like you were saying, how we use the term grounding in so many things and in so many different contexts, and so many of us often feel just scattered and ungrounded, don't we?
Yes. And is that the same thing? I mean, I don't think we know the answer to this, do we? But is that the same thing as not being physically grounded? Is that feeling of being scattered and not being centred in our bodies, is that somehow connected? I mean, I don't know.
This is what we've got to try out, isn't it? Because he was saying about how, like, take the example of children and how, well, we're sleeping on beds that are elevated above the ground, so we're sleeping ungrounded. Then we're running around in rubber shoes all day. And then, kids are playing on playgrounds, which are asphalt, so they're ungrounded. And then they're coming home, getting straight into their carpeted houses and sitting on screens, like, so they're spending an entire day, and most of us are spending entire days ungrounded.
This really makes me so sad. I see it in my own kids in the winter in particular. So they walk on pavements to the local school, inner city school, not a blade of grass to be seen. And then at the end of the day they walk home in the dark back to our house. So it's not even like I can drag them out to the woods after school, because it's pitch black. And winter's, you know, Monday to Friday during winter, it's, you know, it's pretty deprived of anything natural.
So I think there is something innate in us that when we're saying we're feeling ungrounded, it's because we are and we feel it.
How are you feeling now? How are your feet feeling?
Oh, they're bloody cold. I'm just nearly headed through a gorse bush there. I don't want to be doing that with my bare foot, although they are nearly numb. I mean, I was going to ask you, Kate. I mean,
what is going on? What is going on? I can't even send help.
Quite a lot of gorse out here on the moor, actually. And I'm just walking through some horse shit there. I mean, it's very lovely. I feel
gone deep here, Gwen. You've thrown yourself into this. Committed.
I think it's going to take a while to warm these feet up. But this is why, right? This is why people buy things like grounding mats and they decide to do their grounding overnight by sleeping on a grounding sheet, isn't it?
Exactly. This is it. And Gayton touches on that, you know, if you can't be doing a kind of natural version of grounding in your everyday life, then there are ways around it. And, you know, we would never encourage people to have to spend their hard-earned money on things, but those products are there if you're interested in finding out more about them. Grounded sheets that you can put on your beds, grounded mats that you can put under your feet.
Yes. Yes,
you know, we're nowhere endorsing them, but they're there for you to find out about.
Yes, and... Because this is all very well. I'm super privileged, obviously, being able to wander barefoot through horse shit and gorse bushes. But not everybody... Like, how would you do this in a city, Kate?
Well, exactly. This is it. I did think about... I mean, actually, before I say that, the earlier on in the week, in the mornings when I've got up and had my cup of coffee after we've been researching this episode, I have been coming out and standing in the grass in the back garden. And there's no denying that it immediately makes you feel good. But, you know, after 10 minutes, I'm like, screw that. I'm getting pretty chilly. I'm going back inside.
And so I guess that's it, isn't it? That people... In cities, this is, they're going to have to invest. My friend who's the one who's doing loads of barefoot walking, she has bought herself an earthing mat and she...
Has she?
So she travels around with that. Gayton has one at his desk, doesn't he? And I was actually thinking, I mean, like we were saying at the top of the podcast, we're only in this for finding ways to improve our mental health. But so as a kind of, as a side, there are all these physical benefits to it. But, you know, we encourage people to go and do their own research on that. We're not here saying this is the cure for any, you know, we're not in that position. But I have to say that when I was reading some anecdotal evidence that, like, people with multiple sclerosis and people with Parkinson's were sleeping on earthing sheets and were finally having a really good night's sleep, I thought about my mum, and my mum's got Parkinson's and she really struggles with sleep. She has bad leg pain. Right. And I thought, actually, do you know what's the harm? I'm gonna get one of these sheets and just see if she can have a better night's sleep.
That, I mean, that's amazing. If nothing else, if she gets a better night's sleep through it, then that itself will massively improve quality of life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's a huge change in your day-to-day well-being if you're getting enough sleep.
Because when she's not had a good night, that's ruined her next day, basically.
Yeah, I'm sure. Will you continue to do this? Will you continue to walk around barefoot?
Do you know what? Yes, because I don't know if I'm really going to come out here again in the winter barefoot walking around the moor, absolutely freezing my tits off. But every day I do like to just pop out, like you were saying, just pop out into your back garden and stand there barefoot and look up at the sky. And I really like to do that last thing at night when I've spent my entire evening watching television. I love being outside barefoot, looking up at the stars.
Oh, that sounds lovely, particularly because you don't have that much light pollution where you live, do you? So you actually probably get a really beautiful night sky. You can see some... What are these stars of which you speak? I have no idea what you're talking about, to be honest with you, Gwen. I reckon I will as well, because all summer, that's my favourite thing in the summer, is to rip my shoes off and be barefoot. And the only thing that stops me doing it in the winter is I might get dirty feet.
Yeah.
It's like, sod it, I don't care if I get dirty feet in my back garden.
Yeah,
who cares? I don't know if I'm quite ready to go, you know, skipping down Park Street barefoot, but...
dodging needles.
Yeah, exactly, over the broken glass.
But I think that there is, like we were touching on, that there is an innate need in us. There's an innate desire in us to be barefoot on the grass, isn't there? Or barefoot in the soil, and to make ourselves feel more grounded.
Yes.
I also think if people are... they want the benefits of cold water swimming, but they don't have the gonads to go and get in the cold water, which is perfectly fine and understandable, that maybe just slipping off your slippers and popping into the back garden is doable.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Write Up My Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, if you've got any ideas for future episodes, or you want to give us any feedback, then you can always email us at writeupmypodcast@gmail.com.
The other thing we would love for you to do is to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it, and also pop across to Apple Podcasts where you can rate and review it, and that would make us look better. Thank you. You can also get us on our socials on Insta and Twitter, which is @writeupmy. And you can also go and check out our Patreon, which we are slowly starting to add things to, aren't we, Kate? What is that? What's that address again?
It is patreon.com/writeupmypodcast. And as always, we must not forget to thank our very talented and very generous team of people who help us put our episodes together.
Go on, Kate. I always do this bit. You see if you can remember everybody's surnames.
That is our ever-patient editor, Andy Turvey. Thank you, Andy. The very talented Andrew Grimes, who does our music and jingles. And our wonderfully eloquent content editor, Kat. Thank you, everybody. We are, as always, hugely grateful to you.
Please share with your friends. And meanwhile, we will be back in a couple of weeks.
Take care of yourselves and keep doing things
to make you feel good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tell me, did you like the podcast, Brian?
No!
Oh. If, unlike Brian, you thought our podcast was really great, then don't hold back, like, subscribe and tell your mate. But if, like Brian, you thought our podcast wasn't fun, then just keep quiet, don't feel the need to tell anyone. We'd love to hear from you if you've got some thoughts to share, such rich and lovely views that all should be aware of. But I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate. 'Cause we don't need grumpy pants bringing everybody down. No, we don't need negative Nellies making people frown. So I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate.